We'll continue on chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chavtet. Now we're recalling, just to review, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chavtet, what page?
124.
Top of 124.
Let us recall, just for a brief moment, what we're talking about. We learned that King Shlomo, she has a chumis, so make sure she gets a navi. Give her one with the dot behind, to switch it. We learned about King Shlomo and the way the navi states what his sinful behavior was, and then we also learned how Chazal reinterpret what his sinful behavior was. But nonetheless, either if according to the navi he worshipped idols, which the rabbis say he did not, or he just allowed it to happen and looked the other way in the hopes that his wives would somehow maintain a Jewish identity, he was nonetheless held guilty for allowing idolatry to remain, and God therefore decided that he would take away, he would remove his kingdom from him, from his descendants, right? And we're going to see the ramifications of that. So that's where on Puzzle Cup 10. Vahi ba'et ha'hi. And it was at that time, and I'm focusing on ba'et ha'hi because we're going to come back to it in a little bit. At that time, what time? What time is it referring to that it's ba'et ha'hi? What happened at that time? It doesn't really say. But I'll explain to you a little bit later on based on the Gemara. Yerabam yasam Yerushalayim. Yerabam was leaving Yerushalayim. We're going to see what that refers to as well. Vayimsa'oto achia shiloni hanavi baderech. And achia the shiloni found him in the way. Behumit kasheb b'shalmach hadasha. And he recovered himself. He was wearing a new cloak, new clothing. Ushteyam the Vadam Basadan, they're both alone in the field. We're reviewing, but I went back for a purpose. Vaitos Achiyah Basama Khadashar Shalab, and Achiyah took this new cloak that he was wearing. Vayikra Eha and he tore it, Vishnemasar Kraim into 12, he rendered it 12 times. Funny, he's probably a strong guy. It's not easy to rend your cloak 12 times. Vayamal Yerabam, and he said to Yerabam, Kach Lecha Asarak Kraim, you take 10. Kiko Amar Hashem Elokei Israel, so saith the Lord of Israel. Hineni korea et hamamlacha miyad Shlomo, venatati lecha et asara hashvatim. I will take 10 of the tribes from Shlomo and give you. I will take them for the kingdom from Shlomo and give you 10 tribes. Vasher b'tachad yielo, he gets to keep one tribe. L'man David Avid Avi David u'l'man Yerushalayim ma'ir, for the sake of my servant David u'l'man Yerushalayim, and for the sake of my city Yerushalayim. Asher b'charti ba, that I have chosen mikol shivtei Yisrael, from all the tribes of Israel. So what? What does that mean, for the sake of Yerushalayim and for the sake of David, my servant? Why does God, and this is a very important principle in general. So he says, Shlomo sinned, I'm taking away the kingdom. Except one tribe. I'm leaving them one tribe. Why? Well, Yerushalayim and David. David's gone. Why does God have to maintain one tribe for Beit Yehuda, for the tribe of Yehuda?
Did he promise them that there would always be something in Yerushalayim?
He promised always. Did he promise David eternal throne? Did he promise an eternal throne to David?
No, but to Yehuda.
Not to Solomon.
No, but to the
Shevet
of Yehuda.
Did God actually promise David an eternal lineage? Meaning, that's a great question. What if the last surviving, and we're going to see, I don't know if we'll get there, but there is one period of time where the last surviving descendant of David is in mortal danger, and he is miraculously saved as a child. Uh-huh. But what if he decides to kill himself? Does it mean he couldn't do it? Well, God promised, so I don't want to live anymore. Nothing, it doesn't work. I mean, I never see like Groundhog Day. Like he keeps trying to kill himself and never really works. Why? Because God promised?
Promised as long as they were faithful.
Good, Shlomo wasn't. See ya.
But Shlomo stays king for the sake of his father.
Fine. I got that. So then Shlomo's child, what about Shlomo's descendant?
No, still the descendant of
what? No promise, right, no promise. So then why does he keep one tribe? Why does he keep the tribe of Yehuda?
Hope
for the future. What?
Mashiach is coming from Yehuda? No.
Why? I mean, that's a yeah. So what? So when Mashiach, but who's Yehuda now? Who's the tribe now? Well, it's gone.
If he gets rid of everything, then there's nothing left.
Why not kick out David and kick out Shlomo? You say, I'm tired of Shlomo. I'm very upset at what he did. I'm going to kick him out and find somebody else. Like you did a show. Well, what do you mean nothing else?
Why kick out David?
Why split the kingdom? What do you mean, why kick out David? Right, who's the king today? I agree with you. David Melech Chai V'Kayim. Who's the king today?
He's keeping the most open.
Who?
All of us.
Yeah, wonderful. And we see how well that's working for us, right? There is no king today. And who is the Mashiach going to be? No, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And how are we going to know he's ben David? Well, your husband would say DNA testing. But okay, whatever.
You do know that
why? It doesn't sound so far-fetched,
no,
does it?
No.
Yeah, we'll pull some.
Somebody's gonna.
Either David will be alive, so we'll just get his DNA. We'll figure it out, or we'll find the camera, David. We'll pull out some. So they'll have some DNA, you know.
But you know they do use DNA to get a true coin.
Sure, right. So it's not so hard to figure out. Anyway, the answer is that once God makes a promise, and this principle is critical to us. It's critical to us now. Once God makes a promise, God has decided, once God, how should we say this, puts his lot in with a group or a place, in essence, the Ribbono Shel Olam is, for lack of a better word, stuck with it. Right? Who benefits from this the most?
We,
the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Correct. Right? This is a principle upon which so much of our religion is based. Right? We're going to read in this week's Parsha, just going to read through the Parsha tomorrow. I'm not going to give the shiur now. Right? What does Moshe Rabbeinu, B'nai Israel, sin at the Egel Azav, and God says, all right, forget it. Bam! Moshe, I'm going to forget
that.
Right, what does Moshe say to him?
He reminds him that he said he would never get
it. No, he does not.
He said you will regret it.
He does not. What does he say? He says, Lama Yomu Mitzrayim. What are the Egyptians going to say? What are the Goyim going to say? God couldn't do it. God, you chose us. You put your lot with us. You're stuck with us. You chose David. He put his lot with him. He chose Yerushalayim. That's where the Shaken Shemo Sham, that God put his name on there, the place of God, the city of God. He's stuck with it. Even though sometimes God might say, you know, they're not really treating that city the way I would like them to treat it. And that's a sense of, how shall we say this, of solace to us and comfort. No matter how bad it gets, that God has placed his lot in his people. He has chosen us. We are the Am HaNivchar. We have been chosen for better or, God forbid, for worse. Yes?
Hashem chose.
He didn't choose him eternally. He didn't place his lot in him. He gave him the opportunity. But David was, God said, was chosen, you know, as the eternal king. Okay, like, so that's why it means David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Okay. Yan Asher Azavuni, because he has abandoned me, Vayishtachavu La'ashterot Elohei Tzidonim. He bowed down to Ashterot, V'chmosh Elohei Moab, U'milkom Elohei B'nei Amon, V'lo Halchu B'drachai La'asot HaYashar Be'inai, V'chukotai Mishvatai K'David Aviv. You can read the translation. He didn't follow in my ways. He bowed down to all the idols. And he didn't follow in the footsteps of his father, David. I'm not going to take the entire kingdom from him. And also Shlomo himself, I will leave him, I'll place him to be a nasi, a prince, as long as he lives. Right? The King David who I have chosen. Who kept my commandments. And that's, we say it, it's almost like, thank God, we bless God, Asher b'charbanu mikol ha'amim. That's the first thing we said. God, he chose us. Thanks. Now, we say it in thanks because it's good. But we say it in thanks also.
As a reminder.
As a reminder, right. V'lakachli amulcha miyad b'no, unetati alecha et aseret hashvatim. And I take the kingdom from his son, and I'll give it to you, the 10 tribes. We'll leave Noah, Tain Shevet Echad, Leman Hayot Nir, Le David, Avdi, Kol Hayamim, Lefanai, Yerushalayim, Ha'ir, Asher Bachareti Li, Lashum, Shmi, Sham. Again, that's the word, what's the word that I focus on? No. The word that I focus on, Bacharti. I have chosen it. So again, I'm doing it because I'm having a remnant of David, who I chose, in the city that I chose, that should, they should remain together. I'll choose you. Who's he talking to? Achya Shiloni is talking to? Yerubbam ben Nevat. Right, Yerubbam. God chose Yerubbam to lead the kingdom of Israel. It's interesting to know that God himself chose to split the people, to split the Jewish people. Okay?
And unequal.
The Hayah, what do you mean?
10 to 2.
Right, 10 to 2, correct. But it's always conditional. It was conditional with Samuel, with Shlomo too. If you follow my ways, to follow my, and you follow my path, you do that which is righteous in my eyes, to guard my statutes and my commandments, kasher asad David avi, as David did, I'll be with you, and I will build you a reliable house. You can have the house of David. I mean, it's an incredible opportunity in a sense. He said, you could be as great as David. All you got to do is
follow my ways.
Right. Sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Doesn't it sound so easy? You know? Just simple. Why don't they just do whatever they're supposed to do?
What was so special about your
other? What?
What was so special about your other?
You ask the question, you answer the question.
Hashem taught it.
What? Oh, no, 1 second.
Why?
Someone asked me, when was it? Somebody asked me in the Parshas here? I'm trying to remember when somebody asked me this question. I don't remember the question exactly. There's two ways to interpret Yerubbam. Is it that he's special because God picked him? Or God picked him because he's special? Right. What is the fact that God picked him to be the king of Israel? We don't know much about him. The Gemara, we're going to see an Agadata that fills in some of the information. But we don't. But what? Excuse me. What do we know about him? What do we know about him? What did Yerubbam do from last week? What did Yerubbam do that made him unique? That nobody else did.
He stood up to him.
Yeah, about what?
I don't remember.
About what?
I don't remember.
Remember that, what did Shlomo do? Shlomo built this rampart that was supposed to be the house of Bat Paro. Right, and he closed off the city at a gathering place where people would come in to come to Jerusalem to worship God. And no one spoke to Shlomo and said, hey, come on, except for Yerubbam. So we know that Yerubbam was, Shlomo also admired him, he said, for being strong, And a tireless worker and dedicated. He's not only dedicated, he was willing to take risks to do what was right. Okay? So the fact that God, and then add to that the fact that God chose him to be king, and you can assume that it's probably a good idea. You know, God doesn't set people up to fail. He sets them up to succeed. That's what he says. He says, you can be as great as David Amela, but it's really up to you. You've got all the tools, but only you can decide if you're going to be David, or as it turns out, you're of them, as we'll see. Okay, va'ane et zera David leman zot, and I will a'ane. What's the root of a'ane? Anybody know? What? What is la'anot?
Answer.
Nope. Inui. What is la'anot? Right. There are so many. This is now that I'm reading this. There are so many references to the Chet Ha'egel in these contexts. Where is the reference to Chet HaEgel in this section? Anybody know? The why does he choose that word? Can anybody guess?
It's in the Torah.
Oh, it's in the Torah, correct. How did you know? Other than the fact that I'm sitting here opening the Chumash. Okay. Okay. Sure, open the Chumash. If you have a Chumash, open the page. Let me see if I can find it. I got it. 498. Listen to what he said. But Moshe comes down from the mountain. The Jewish people are going nuts. Okay? Vayishma Yehoshua el kol ha'am bireo. So Yehoshua is halfway up the mountain waiting for his ready. So he hears this nunny shouting, Vayomer, El Moshe, kol milchama b'machaneh. Right? There must be war in the camp. What's going on? Moshe says, Ein kol anot gvura. Anot, la'anot means the answering of gvura, strength. Ve'ein kol anot chalusha. And there's no voice of weakness. Kol anot anochi yeshomer. It's the voice of distress, of affliction that I hear. It's a great pun. Everybody see the play on words that Moshe said? Ein anot gvura, ein anot chalusha. Kol anot anochi yeshomer. From la'anot, from inui. So listen to the word that Achiah Shiloni uses. Va'ane et zera David, l'ma'an zot. And I will afflict the zera David, the children of David, l'ma'an zot, for this sake. Does anybody know why? And I'm pointing this out to you. We're gonna use the Chumashim again. Well, maybe we will. Maybe we won't. But why is this? Why do I think that this reference is here? Do you have any idea? Anybody know the best of the story? What happens at the end of the story? All right, we'll see. Okay, fine. Oh, what does that mean? Ach lo kol hayamim, meaning not all days. How long? How long? I'm going to afflict Zera David Leman Zod, but not forever.
Until I feel it's enough.
How long?
We don't know.
Ah, very good. Very right? Fascinating. Look at Rashi. Unbelievable Rashi. You have Rashi, Ach lo kol hayamim? I don't have the... You know where it is?
First one up on
it's
top.
It's the first one on page 126.
Thank you.
No, the top. The first Rashi on 126.
Okay. Third, Rashi gives two explanations. Two explanations. One, Ach lo kol hayamim, ki yimot ha-mashiach, tashuv ha-malacha elav. When is it going to stop?
When Mashiach
comes, that's when he's going to get the melucha back. The Seder Olam HaTati. I found that in a book called the Seder Olam. And then, those are the second explanation. 36 years. Shenitchaten Shlomo at Bat Paro. Shlomo, how long was he married to Bat Paro?
36 years.
Why? Because he married Bat Paro in which year of his reign?
Fourth
year. Very good. And how long did he reign for? 40 years. So he's married for 40. Shenasa b'shana. This is what Rashi says. Shenasa b'shana harbi'i l'malko. He married her in the fourth year. And because of Bat Paro was the decree that his kingdom should be split. This 36 years. We're going to see 36 years after this is the kingdom of Asa. In the 16th year of its of his kingdom. Ella, Rabbi, what happened? Shekilkel lishloach shochad lemelech Aram. He decided to send shochad. What's shochad? Bribery. Look at your sheet. Source number one. Bishnat shloshim v'sheish lemalchut Asa. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Allah basha melech Yisrael al Yehuda vayiven et harama. So Basha, the king of Israel, came up against Yehuda and built Ramah. The Vilti take Yotzei Bavar la'asa melech Yehuda. Right? So that the people in Yehuda, by the way, how big was the king of Judea? How big was it?
Well, it wasn't very
not
big.
Very.
Yehuda, not Israel, Yehuda.
Oh. Yehuda couldn't have been very big. Because all the other 10 tribes were...
It ended up being the tribe of Yehuda, but pretty much only Yerushalayim and maybe its environs. Like, that was, but that's the whole thing. I'm like, oh, the Jews, Judea... Not so great. So Basha, the king of Israel, is fighting with Asa, the king of Yehuda. Gee, go figure. Jews fighting. Okay. Vayotze Asa kesef v'zahav miyotzrot beit Hashem umi beit HaMelech. So Asa, what does he do? Instead of fighting, he takes money from the house of God and from his own house. Vayishlach el ben Hadad Melech Aram hayoshev bidar mesek lemor. So he sends a message, money, payoff,
to Damascus,
right, to Hadad, the king of Aram, and he says, Gimel, Brit beinu beinecha bein avinu bein avicha, let's make a covenant, you and me, your dad, my dad, we're both dead, but whatever. Hinei shalachti lecha kesef v'zahav, lech hafer britcha et basa melech yisrael v'yaaleh me'alai. So basically he says, I'm paying you money, but I need for this covenant, for this treaty, I need you to do me a favor. What would I like you to do?
Cut the other
break off with the other one.
No, break off with the other one and Fight with him. Right, fight with him. I want you to... He basically hires the non-Jewish king of Syria as a mercenary army, right, to get rid of his Jewish enemy. Dalid, Vayishma ben Hadad, Amelech Asa, ben Hadad liked money, Vayishach et Arei HaChayelim Ashalo al Arei Yisrael, and he sent his military, Vayaku et Iyun, ve'et Dan, ve'et Avel Mayim, and they smote Iyun and Dan and Avamayim, ve'et Komis Kenor Arei Naphtali, and the cities of Naphtali. So basically, what do you have here? You have a Jew inciting a non-Jewish enemy by paying them off to go attack his other Jewish enemy. It's a sordid history in the Jewish people. It's unbelievable. So when he heard this, Basha's got to go back and go fight, because his cities, while he's attacking Yerushalayim, his cities are getting wiped out. So, okay, that it did the job. Well done. It was a good fight. Okay. What is the Ramah, the ramparts? It was a blockade, really, to prevent anyone from coming and going into Yerushalayim, to starve out the city. Like, you want to conquer your enemy, you can fight him. But let's say he's in an impenetrable fort. So then, what do? You starve him out, right? And it was pretty effective. Except one wonders how he could smuggle the money out. That somehow these impenetrable forces were somewhat porous. So that's the thing about money and about forces, right? You better count on everybody doing their job, because if somebody doesn't do their job, yeah, you're all in trouble. Anyway, skip to Pasuk Zayin. But at that time, Roe is the seer. So what does a seer refer to? Hananiah the seer. What does it mean? What is a seer?
Is it a prophet?
Yeah, a prophet. He said to him, "Bishancha al Melech Aram, when you relied on the king of Aram, v'lo nishanda al Hashem Elokecha, right? And who didn't you ask for help? God. Al kei nimlatcha al Melech Aram miyadecha. Okay. Therefore, the host of the king of Aram escaped out of your hand. Hallo, hakushim v'aluvim hayu l'chayel l'rov l'rechev u'l'farshim l'arvei mo bishancha al Hashem etanam miyadecha. God." When you called out to God, you had to fight worse enemies than them. What did God do? He listened to you. But now you don't have the faith. Now you call the enemies of Israel to go and attack your other enemies, other Jews. Forget it. Let's go back to Rashi. Says Rashi.
In the Chumash or in the Navi?
In the Navi. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Ru'uya hayta mulucha lachzor b'yimei Asa. In the days of Asa, Asa should have been the united king of the Jewish people. What did God want Asa to do? When Baasha, the king of Israel, built his rampart against the king of Judea, against Asa, what did God want Asa to do, finally? No. Again, the king of Israel attacked the king of Yehuda, trying to starve him out. So now, if you're being starved out, you could do one of two things. You can wait and die. Well, I guess you could do three things. You can call for help, or you can fight. What does God want him to do, clearly?
To fight.
And?
Win.
Win. And what would the win do? What would the victory do? And when you beat the king of Judea, of Israel, what do?
Unite.
You reunite the kingdom. Right? He says that should have happened the 16th year of his reign. Rather, but he sent a bribe to the king of Aram and did not rely on God. And that's what it says that we read. In the 36th year of the kingdom of Asa, right, he built that Ramah, that rampart. The EFSR, it's impossible. Why? Because Baasha was already dead in the 26th year, not in the 36th year. So what does it mean, the 36th year? Ela sheish esrei shana shelo. Rather, it was the 16th year of his own reign. Hayakore shloshim v'sheish. It was called the 36th year. Why? Because it was the 36th year after the death of Shlomo. And what was supposed to happen that year? The reunification of the Jewish people. And the Torah tells you, v'yigida chatzur sheba otav shana, Kilkel Asa, and the Navi tells you that year Kilkel Asa ruined it. Meaning, According to Rashi, according to the Midrash, how long was the split supposed to be? 36 years. Why 36 years?
Because
that was the length of his marriage to Bathsheba.
Bat Paro.
Right, thank you. Bat Paro.
Let's go.
That was a test. I should be so tired. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I lost my train of thought. But at the very, at the moment of opportunity for reunification, King of Yehuda blew it. And this is something that we learn, I think it's an important theme over and over again. Opportunities for redemption present themselves. There are times, as we will see, that are ripe for destruction. There are times that are ripe for redemption, for rebirth. And the time is not endless. It's not unlimited. Right? If you take advantage of the opportunity, if we, the people, take advantage of the opportunity, great. And if we don't, it's not to say that that door remains open at all times and in all circumstances. That door closes and it locks until the time for it to open comes once again. It's a very frightening thought. Very, very frightening thought. He could have redeemed the Jewish people, but he didn't. So how long do we have to wait now for the reunification of the Jewish people? Still waiting. Yeah. Even the Second Temple, they were still waiting. Still waiting to be reunified. And what happened to the Aseret Shabbatim? 10 tribes?
Lost.
Lost, either maybe now or lost forever. Depends on who you paschal like, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Why? Oops. Right. Imagine they wrote that about you in history. He could have redeemed the Jewish people and saved tens of millions of Jews and, you know, altered history forever, except
he didn't.
He didn't have faith in God. He chose to have more faith in the Syrians or Palestinians than he did in God. Right? Politics trumped religion. Expediency trumped faith. Sound familiar? All right, anyway, but I digress. Let's look at that. Look for a minute at the Radak on this Achlo Kol Hayamim. Where is it? It's in your book. No, you have it in there.
Radak, yeah.
Yeah, says the Radak. Okay, says the Radak, Achlo Kol Hayamim. The Radak echoes that which Rashi says, but he adds another point which I think is relevant. Atidah lachzor b'yimot ha-mashiach b'imei melech ha-mashiach. When is it? When is it going to return? He says, not the 36-year Midrash. Simplistically, in the simple understanding, it means that when will the chain of David return to reunify the Jewish people in the times of Messiah? Sh'ne'amar v'ashitem le'etz echad v'amar u'melech echad yeh l'kulam. Yeah, it says that it will be one tree, it will have one king. Va'omer ba'abdi David malach aleihem, and my servant David will rule over them. Says the Radak, this is unbelievable. Mikan tshuva la'omrim. This is an answer to those who say, Shavanu mitzapin yimei melech ha-mashiach. Right? You Jews are nuts. You Orthodox are nuts for waiting for the Mashiach. It's never going to happen. Ki lo yiyeh. It's not going to happen. Why? V'hine ha-navi omer, Ach lo kol hayamin. Right, it won't happen forever. So he says the proof that there's going to be a Mashiach is the Navi promised us that it's not forever, that there will come a time when the redemption will come. Because remember, you ask where is, you know, the Rambam says that believing in Mashiach is one of the principal tenets, one of the bedrocks of Orthodox, of Jewish faith. Where is it? Where is Mashiach in the Torah? Where's Mashiach in the Navi? Mm. What? It's not explicit. It's all allusions, references and allusions. So he says, here's another reference. Here's another one. Anybody know of another one? A very famous one we just read in the Torah? No one knows? Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael. What does Yashir mean? What? Will sing. When? Az.
Then
Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael Shirazo. Right? Not then as Sharu, as Yashir. But I digress. Okay, let's go back to the Navi because I have a very good answer for going slow. We want to cover some ground.
Are we on Mem?
Pasuk Mem, verse 40 in the Navi. So Shlomo, of course, isn't it great, like how things happen over and over again? Shlomo finds out, probably. Or even if Shlomo didn't find out, what did Yerabam do?
Rebuked him in public.
Right, you don't rebuke the king in public. You rebuke the king in public, and he kills you. So Yeravam wants to kill him. Vayakam Yeravam vayivach Mitzrayim al Shishak melech Mitzrayim vayim Mitzrayim ad Mos Shlomo. So what does he run away to? Shishak, the king of Egypt. What's interesting about that?
It's his father-in-law,
and they have these great treaties, and they share horses, and they get along so well, except
when
Shlomo has a problem, and somebody, you know, like, these treaties, how strong are these treaties?
As strong as what you did for me yesterday.
Correct. As strong as what you did for me yesterday. And they're all self-interest. You know, what's good for me today? What's good for me today? So if it's good for me today, then I have a treaty. And if it's not good for me today, I won't. So is it in Bar Paro's best interest to wipe out the enemies of Shlomo? No. And he makes a treaty with him because Shlomo is powerful. But even though he's powerful, if you can be a thorn in his side, right, so that just shows you. So why did Shlomo marry Bat Paro? Cosmopolitan, he loved her, but it was all about
politics.
How effective were the politics?
Not very.
You know, I think I said this when I came back from the APAC convention. The one thing I learned, the most amazing thing about APAC is how many politicians get up and I wouldn't say prostrate themselves, but pledge allegiance to the state of Israel. And it's so clear, and the thing that frightened me so much is, it's all politics. Mm-hmm. Everything in politics is about self-interest. Mm-hmm. That's what politics are. What's good for this state, what's good for this locality, what's good for this politician. I was watching today on Fox News, they were saying, how are the superdelegates going to vote? Are they going to vote for Obama, or are they going to vote for Clinton? That's a big issue, how are they going to vote? And the guy said, sof, no matter what anybody says, you know who they're going to vote for? They're going to vote for themselves. Whatever they think is in their best interest, whoever they think is going to win, that's who they're going to vote for. Because then afterwards, when their winner wins,
you see what I did for you.
See what I did for you? That's politics.
And that's why they're having meetings with these superdelegates.
100%.
Behind closed doors.
They all know. Right? You know, like the smoky-filled room, right? What are you going to give me if I vote for you? Wow. You know, that's what it is. That's the nature of politics. Politics is righteous self-interest. Right, so never do anything politically to compromise yourself, for which you'll never forgive yourself, because everything is righteous self-interest. There is no higher cause in politics.
Wow.
It's all righteous self-interest. It's what the nature of the politics is. Mm-hmm. And it's a very cynical perspective. But at its core, that's what politics is. You could be motivated by a higher calling, mm-hmm. but the act of politics itself is righteous self-interest. See what happens to Shlomo. Oh, my good friend, Dad, I got a problem. Oh, you do? Yeah, there's a guy named Yeravam. I got to see if I can find him for you. You know, it's... My country's a big country. I don't really have that much control. You know, it's a struggle. Why didn't you take care of him? You know? Not so simple. Okay. V'yeter divrei Shlomo. V'chol asher asa v'chachmato. And the rest of the words of Shlomo and all of his wisdom. Halohem ketuvim al sefer divrei Shlomo. They are written in the books of divrei Shlomo, the words of Shlomo. So Shlomo actually is lucky. Well, not lucky. He is scholarly because he left us some books. He left us Mishlei, he left us Kohelet, he left us Shir Shirim. But what about the Yeter Divrei Shlomo? Where is the book of the Divrei Shlomo?
Gone.
Right. What does the Navi basically, when the Navi says that, what is it telling you? I have nothing else to share with you. There's nothing else of relevance and significance. Can you imagine the life of Shlomo? So what do you know about Shlomo? Like,
whatever's written in the...
Well, we know that he built the Beit HaMikdash. He built the palace for himself. And the only other thing we know about him is...
He had a lot of wives.
He had a lot of wives and a lot... And
a lot
basically, listing the warnings the Torah gave, he violated every single one.
Right.
Right? And had the kingdom torn away from him. How's that for your legacy? not so good. Okay. Hayamim asher malach shlomo b'yishalayim al kol yisrael 40 shana. 40 years. He lived for 40 years.
Can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
So we asked last week. How old he was when he
ruled for 40 years. How old was
so
he when
he was? How old was he when he became king?
12, 13,
15. Okay. I don't know if this is really relatives, but if all, if his wives were all not really Jewish,
well,
were his children Jewish? Would they?
Well, by the way, he definitely had Jewish wives as well.
Oh.
So were all those children from all those wives Jewish? Name one of them.
Yeah,
they don't know.
So the one who was supposed to succeed him, was he from a Jewish mother? I mean, an original Jewish mother.
I don't know. It says, "Vayimloch v'chavam b'no tachtav." That's what you need. But Yishkav Shomo b'avotav. Shomo was buried with his father. Right, he deled with his father. He died. Vayikaver b'ir David Aviv. He was buried in Ir David. Vayimloch v'chavam b'no tachtav. And his son Rechavam became king under him instead of him. What do we know about Rechavam? I have to look it up. In a second.
I looked in that encyclopedia.
Yeah, what did it say? Good.
Just said he was the successor to Solomon.
It didn't say anything about him? That's all it said?
That was pretty much it. And I was, because I was getting confused between
Yeravam and Rechavam.
Yeah.
So Rechavam is on the Shomo, Yeravam ben Nebat. Yeah.
So that's pretty much all it said.
And it's also interesting that the Navi tells us a great deal about Yeravam, who his mother was, and how lineage, and how great he was.
You don't know who his mother was.
I will ask. I don't know. I didn't think about it. It's a great question. Who is this guy Rechavam?
Yeah.
What do we know about him? Who is his mother?
Dozens of children from, and half of them boys, statistically.
Right.
So
dozens from 1,000 wives?
I don't know that he got around to every wife.
Yeah, 40 years. Right.
So he has to have had
hundreds of sons.
Hundreds of sons.
Yeah.
Why the sons?
Who was the first?
I don't know.
You
the
ask,
are not necessary.
You ask great questions. I don't know. It requires. And Rabbi Scroll doesn't say nothing, huh?
No.
I turn to Rabbi Scroll, and what do I get?
Nothing.
You know, the first place I'll look is Dibra HaYamim, and I'll see what midrashim I can find. And the Otsar, that book, the encyclopedia, didn't have anything, just listed him and said that's it?
Pretty much it.
Very disappointing.
Oh, by
okay.
The way, the book on the Legends of Solomon.
You got it?
I've got it on order.
What did it cost you?
Who cares?
Well, I would care.
About $20.
Okay. For both, for each one?
Yeah. Very
nice.
No, it's both together.
For both?
Yeah.
Wow, you must have found a good bookstore. Somebody else?
Amazon.
Somebody else was looking at Amazon, and she couldn't find it. So maybe you got
she's
the last one or two. Yeah. Because I sat in my other class also, and a couple of people were looking for it. They're wonderful books. Okay. Although I saw it at Barnes & Noble, one of them for, like, cheap. $6 or $7, and then you got to add shipping for one of them. So
I want to get it for my grandson.
Snag it. Okay. Parak Yud Bet, chapter 12. Let me just see where we are for 1 second. Okay. Vayelech Rechavam Shechem. Ki Shechem v'akol Yisrael lahamlichoto. Rechavam went to Shechem, because that's where all the Jewish people went to make him king. Okay. Well, now, I don't know if anybody remembers, like when I read a pasuk like that, radar goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why does my radar go up?
Because that was a place that was where Dina, wasn't it? Dina was. That's where they killed
Yosef.
All the men.
Right. Right.
For Yosef.
And the Yosef.
For Yosef.
Very good.
Right.
Very good.
There.
Right. Shechem. I wouldn't. It's interesting. Oh, he went there because that's where all the people went. Okay. Shechem isn't your greatest
city. It has
city.
A lot of tragic.
It has a lot of right.
Yeah.
Bad
a lot of bad stuff. Where would you choose to have your coronation?
Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Yerushalayim
wouldn't you?
Obviously, there's something.
Yeah. All right. Look at page two. Look at page two. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I mean, you're actually reading it
something
out of the Ein Yaakov. You're reading it out of the Ein Yaakov. What time is it? How much time do I have?
I have 10:02.
10:02. Wait. I prepare all these classes, and you sidetrack me, and we just don't cover enough ground. Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, somebody's got to be blamed. Okay. Says the Gemara, "Vayelech Rechavam Shechem, ki Shechem ba'u kol Yisrael lahamlich oto." By the way, is that a good reason to go to Shechem? Because all the people. I mean, what if he would have said, "Why did you go to Shechem?"
Because everybody went.
That's where they went.
Yeah.
What should he have said?
Go where I want to go.
Go where I want
to go. Come to Yerushalayim. Come to the Beis Hamikdash. Come to the temple. I want to coronate myself what my father did and my grandfather did in front of the Kohanim, in front of the house of God, and we will sanctify and bless it. What's Shechem? Tana. Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Makom Mezuman Lepuranut. It's a place set aside for bad. Mezuman set aside Lepuranut for danger, for destruction, for damage. Shechem inu Adina. Dina was raped in Shechem. B'Shechem machu achi bet Yosef. Okay? In Shechem, the brother sold Yosef, the pit. B'Shechem nechleka malchus beis David. And in Shechem, the kingdom of David was divided. So this is foreshadowing. It's telling you there are certain places that are bad. Now then look at Marsha. The Marsha says on the side, he says, remember I said about Eitahi, that Achiyashi only found him at that time? The Inyan eight mizumenet, hein metova, hein mera. He says there are certain times that are good and certain times that are bad. Ki Hashem Yisbarach mevi atov hara leolam, karov lateva. God brings into the world good and bad through the forces of nature. Valkein, kishemevi atov laadam, lefis charo, when a person is, you know, you do good, God wants to reward you. Mevi ube'et hamizum letova. Kifi hamazal, so the otos man, it gives you, by the way, what is a mazal? Anybody want to know? What's a mazal?
The horoscope?
Constellation, correct, horoscope, of that time. V'chein lehebar, and there are bad times. V'chein yibayar makom mukhan, kifi hamazal hasholet ba'oto makom. Every place has a mazal, has a spirit, has a spiritual guardian, as an angel. We've seen this, we saw this, the Ramban talks about this, about the difference between Israel and the rest of the world. That the rest of the world, God deals with through intermediaries. But Eretz Yisrael, God looks at directly. That's what he says. Nonetheless, every place has good, there are places that are good, and places that are bad. And, you know, we talk about this during the year. Mishenichnas Adar, Ma'avim B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Ad, Ma'atim B'Simcha. Right? Adar is good for the Jews. It's a good time of the year. You have a court case? Take it. You got a business deal? Do it. Av? Wait. We believe that there are certain times that are auspicious and certain places that are auspicious. So if somebody calls you and says, hey, Howard, I've got a great land deal for you. Okay, where is it? Right outside of Nablus. Stay far, far away. Right. You know, I don't think that's going to be good for me this year. You know, it's not a good idea. And so I'm torn. The last time I gave a shiur in the past year, I think it was a few years ago. You remember I talked about Shechem? I developed this whole idea of Shechem. And I believed that the unification, that the place that is the rending, the place that is the place of destruction, that has to be the place of
mending.
Of mending.
Absolutely.
Of reconstruction. So if Shechem is the place of the rending of apart, of the pain of Dina, and the sale of Yosef, and the destruction, the division of the Jewish people, and somehow Shechem, I felt, I don't know if I think this anymore, will have to represent the unification and the reparation of the Jewish people. I don't know how.
Like a constellation?
Yeah, and if you know, the same, you know, it's almost like the same place where the wound was, you have to patch up the wound.
But it's interesting that for the first time, the Israelis are now demanding that Shechem be, that they fix the tomb of Yosef that was destroyed a few years ago. They're demanding, I mean, this is the first time that they're saying...
What about the guy that was killed now?
Yeah.
With the Sefer Torah?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know why they decide what they decide when they're going to... You know what I'm saying?
Decide, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to see how far to go. Okay. Yeah, let's just read backwards. The Gemara continues. See where it says Sham Yud Aleph in the Gemara? Sham Yud Aleph, four lines, mm-hmm. five lines in. The Yaravam Yatsam Yerushalayim. Yaravam, remember we said it was at that time... And Yerubbaal left Yerushalayim, and he's going to meet this Navi Achiel Ashiloni. Yerubbaal left Yerushalayim. Amar Rab Chanina Bar Papa. Chanina Bar Papa said, "She yatsa mipitka shel Yerushalayim." What is a petek? a note. So what does it mean? Yatza mipit kashel Yerushalayim. He left the imprint of Yerushalayim. What kind of statement is that? That Yerubbaal left the imprint, the power of Yerushalayim. What's the Gemara trying to say? Well, we'll see. We'll see. What?
He left the holy.
Oh, very good. Right, he was leaving Yerushalayim. What was he leaving Yerushalayim? What does it mean? Let's see in a second. And Achiyah found him on the way. He was wearing this nice robe. They were alone. What does it mean he was wearing this nice robe? Just like a new cloak, there's no problem with it. There's no negatives. Af Torato shel Yerubbaal, the Torah of Yerubbaal, the religiosity of Yerubbaal, lo haya bashum dofi. Right, you asked me before, who was Yerubbaal? Why Yerubbaal? The answer was because Yerubbaal at the time was an incredibly righteous person. He was meritorious to be the king of Israel. And when God said, you could be David, Yerubbaal said, I could be David. He really thought he could. He had the possibility. Okay. He came up with new things. He came up with new things that no one had ever heard before. And we'll see. So we'll stop. We'll stop at the Gemara over there. So you asked me who was Yerubbaal. In the eyes of at least one opinion of the Gemara, Yerubbaal was a meritorious person. He was a righteous person. He was a Talmud Chacham and a scholar. And it's a little bit frightening. Why is it frightening? Because take somebody who's on that level, who's on such a powerful level, and give him a little bit of power and control, and next week we'll see the dangers of what that power can bring. Okay, so we did, one second. We did source numbers 1, 2, we didn't do 2, so we need 4, 5, 6, and 7. So if you'll give me back, you can hold on to the seats if you want. If you come back to me, we will continue with chapter 12. And I almost promised with the Blin Eder that I'm trying to make sure that we get through the entire Perek Yud Bet next week.